just going to pray now for the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, we just thank you that all we need to do is ask. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give even as we ask, as we simply ask. And we ask you now, send your Holy Spirit. Send your Holy Spirit on Nick. Just anoint him, anoint his heart, anoint his mind, anoint his words. But more importantly, almost anoint us, Lord. Anoint our ears to hear what you are saying to each one of us this morning, Lord. That the words spoken by a human being would have power because they're your words received into hearts that are hungry to hear what you're saying, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Is that on, Phil? Great. Fantastic. Well, it's so good to be here, isn't it? It's nice when you look forward to church, isn't it? And every Sunday, despite the fact that we have a little bit of a routine, it's just great that God himself seems to come and just bless us. So it's really nice to be here. It's lovely to be here yesterday for the Holy Spirit special day. Lovely to have some new people here today who were mobbed as they came in by a huge crowd of welcomers. They looked almost impossible to get through. If you wanted to sneak through, it would have been hard today, wouldn't it? We're going to talk about a little bit more about the Holy Spirit this morning. And we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Before I embark on my talk, just one thing that came to mind this morning, and that was, there's a guy in the Bible, I don't know whether you can find this, it's right at the back, Ed, a guy called Bezalel. There's a picture, it's in the last few overheads. And this is what it says of him. Here he is. Now, he was the guy that was anointed in order to make all the furniture in the tabernacle. And I just wondered whether this was really important to somebody here today. That it's very different, isn't it? You know, the priests were anointed, the prophets were anointed, the kings were anointed. But you don't get many other references in the Old Testament to somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what it says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence," it's good, isn't it? "With knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise," and this is why God had given him all these things and the Holy Spirit to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft. And I just felt maybe there's somebody in a way that, for all of us, you know, we often think, don't think outside the box, do we? We think the Holy Spirit's given like to special spiritual people, but not actually for some of these kind of everyday things. And I do feel that maybe, you know, God's wanting to stir us up to believe that in the things that he has called us to do everyday wise, particularly in this instance, creative things, these guys, they were filled with the Holy Spirit for craftsmanship, for artistic designs. And I think that God wants to do that. So we're going to talk this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit, or what the Holy Spirit does. And as we do that, just wanted to bring up, to start with, a banner. And this is the banner. Louise and Gavin aren't here this morning, are they? Gavin and Louise, well, Gavin's family used to be Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army, their banner originally was this, "Blood and Fire." So imagine that going through the streets. It kind of marked them out as somebody different. And the reason that they had that was because they were the two things that they really prioritized and believed in. The blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Blood and fire. And as we think about God's grace, often in the morning I'll think, God, thank you for your grace. And there are three things that I often deliberately thank God for. I thank him for his provision in the food that I eat, in a bed to lie in, air to breathe, the family, the people he's given me, and the provision he's made for me in life. It all comes from God. And then there's our redemption, isn't there? The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came, that you were the perfect sacrifice. You lived a perfect life for 30 years, and your life was offered as a sacrifice for you and for me, that we could enter the presence of God and live eternally in his presence because of the blood of Jesus. How wonderful. But then I think sometimes we stop there. But when Jesus died, as that verse, I wonder why I'd not actually made a note of that verse this morning, Bob, because I'd been thinking of it. When he comes, it's better, Jesus said. When I've gone, he said, somebody else is coming, another helper. Wow. If that summarizes everything I want to say this morning, he is a helper. Anybody here need help? Yes. We yelp it and yowl it every morning, don't we? God, help me. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us do everything that God called us to do. He didn't leave us alone. He's given us the power. So listen in this morning to where this applies to you. The work of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, I want you to think about two questions. Number one, what has the Holy Spirit done in my life? As we go through these things, it's like a history of our lives. What has the Holy Spirit already done? And secondly, what more could he do in my life? So bear those questions in mind, and we'll think about them at the end. The first thing is that he has saved us. We are, the Holy Spirit is part of that work of conversion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 and 2, and I'm going to quickly go through these verses. It says, to those who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And this is one of those few verses in the Bible that's got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So God the Father knew that one day you were going to put up your hand and say, Jesus, come into my life. By the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Another translation of that verse is by the separating work of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was gradually in your life, separating you out for him. And we probably looking back notice those little things in our life when we met this person. We went there. We got desperate. It was the work of the Holy Spirit sanctifying you, separating you for Jesus. To obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. The Holy Spirit wanted to bring us to that point where we would say yes to Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood. And if there's anybody here this morning who has never done that, then if you will say yes to Jesus, he will sprinkle you with his blood and you will be forgiven of all your sins and you will be with him for eternity. What a gospel. Amazing. But the Holy Spirit was very involved in that process. We can't take any glory even for our own conversion. And then the Holy Spirit was sent to convict us. John 16:8. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So when I became a Christian, I would say that my conscience was almost completely seared. It's like I had no conscience. I wasn't aware that any of the bad things I was doing were bad. And even on the day that I became a Christian, I was aware that I was a sinner. Yes, that's kind of obvious. But there was nothing in my life that said, this is bad, you need to change. But after I came to Jesus, very soon I got deeply convicted of some of the things in my life that I was doing, of attitudes, of habits. And through that conviction of the Holy Spirit, he moved me on and forward. And he cleansed me. And his work is a convicting world. He also convicts us of righteousness, that it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. And as we receive him as our righteousness, and the Holy Spirit brings the fruit of righteousness out in our lives. And then new birth. John 3 verse 8, it says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Here yesterday at the Alpha Day, during Nikki Gumbel's wonderful talk, How to be Filled with the Holy Spirit, I was standing at the back and I was just felt the breeze of the wind as it was the cool wind came in. I couldn't see it. But the fact that I could feel the wind was evidence of its reality. And it's like that with the Holy Spirit too. But he is the one that brings about that new birth in us. I'm born of the Spirit. On January the 6th, 1974, I asked Jesus to come into my life. On January the 7th, Monday, I was born again. I just woke up and I just knew that I was a completely different person. I wasn't perfect by any means, but wow, I knew I'd been born again. So if anybody talked about being born again, I knew I was one of those because the Holy Spirit had come in and made that experience real to me. And then we are washed and we are sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. It says, and such were some of you. And this is after a long verse of bad things in our lives. And then Paul writes to him and he said, and you were like this. Such were some of you. And I was one of them. And I read through that list. There's quite a few that applied to me. But it says, thank God, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified, that means put right with God, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus, we are justified, put right with God. But the work of the Holy Spirit washes us and sanctifies us. And I used to say to people after I became a Christian all those years ago, I've often said I felt like somebody had put a hose pipe in my mouth and just like washed me out. I felt so washed and so clean. And I know that's different for each one of us, but that sense of cleansing and being washed, where does that come from? The Holy Spirit. I want to glorify the Holy Spirit this morning because he glorifies Jesus. He said, when he comes, he will glorify me. But the Holy Spirit is God. He is God as God is the Father, God is the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's like the invisible one that takes no glory to himself, but yet he is glorious. And he does so many things. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled faces. So this next thing really is transformation. That's quite a 21st century word, isn't it? We're all, you know, up for transformation. But we have an opportunity to be transformed daily as nobody else. We prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, or Joe and I prayed at breakfast time, I think it was, Lord, let us all be different. Let us not leave church today the same as we came in. Because just beholding the glory of God, we are being transformed. It's not instant, is it? Being transformed. How? We're being transformed into the same image of the one we're worshiping, from one degree of glory to another. And where does this come from? This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Jesus is Lord. The Father is Lord. The Holy Spirit is Lord. But his goal is to bring out the character of Jesus in us. We looked at this verse briefly, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 yesterday. And the way I like to think about this really is the character of Jesus. Just think of this person. Somebody who's really loving. Who do you know like this? Somebody who's incredibly joyful. Somebody who's always in peace, unflappable. Somebody who's really patient, even when somebody's saying horrible things about them, even beating them up, even crucifying them. Somebody who's really kind. Somebody who sits on the cross in terrible pain and is thinking about his mother and those around him. Who is good all the time? Who is faithful and never lets us down? Who is gentle and has complete self-control? Anyone like to hazard a guess? Jesus. Say it louder. Jesus. Say it louder. Jesus. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the character of Jesus in our lives. And what Joe and I were also saying, we often say this, Joe comes back from work and she's been in some meeting or some committee or whatever, and we often reflect, what an amazing advantage it is in the workplace to be a Christian. Because we have these things. They are the fruit of the Spirit. If we have him and we will be filled with him, we have these things. And just the things that we learn in church, we learn things about relationships. We have to get over one another, don't we? We get hurt. We get misunderstood. All these things happen, and we learn patience. We learn kindness. We learn to turn up on time. We learn to do the things that we say. And these people are very good employees, aren't they? So we're the people that should be first in the line for promotion, just because this character is so amazing. The Holy Spirit, 1 John 3 verse 1, makes our relationship with God real. I love this verse. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us. Why? That we should be called children of God. What love for you and me, that as you sit there, as I stand here, that we are called children of God. But not only that, it says, and that is what we are. It's not just a label. We are children of God. We've been born into his family. But how does that become real to us? Galatians 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts so that we know that we are children of God. So if you've been born again, if you've asked Jesus into your life, and you still don't realize, don't have that sense that you're God's child, there's something not connecting quite right, because the Holy Spirit is here for this purpose. Romans 8 says it again. Verse 15, you did not receive the spirit of slavery. I'm so glad I'm not a slave. We don't live under the law anymore, do we? All the fear's gone. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into his family, but we've also been born into his family as sons, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Those who've been Christians a long time know all about this, but let me just explain it again. The word Abba, it's an Aramaic word, and its nearest translation is probably daddy. But it isn't quite that, actually, because we don't translate it quite right. It's like that kind of intimacy of not being afraid of God, but you could call him daddy. And yet there's a kind of respect in that word as well, that he is our Father in heaven, whose name we hallow. But he's our daddy as well. And the Spirit makes that real to us. And then Romans 8, 17 says, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. How amazing that the things that Jesus inherited, he has given to us. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just stand back a moment and think about that. That we have been blessed, literally, this is what it says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's joy, that's peace, that's God's anointing for the things that we do, that he is in, that he is involved in. Every provision, amazing. And where does that come from? The Holy Spirit. Because in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, it says, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us from God. So every day when I have my quiet time and I get out my Bible and I'm before God and say, God, please teach me. Help me to understand this book. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into some of the truth. Is that right? No. If I'm a theologian, he'll guide me into all the truth. Is that what it says? No. He will guide all of us into all the truth. Sometimes it may take a while to understand it, but God, the Holy Spirit, wants to guide us into the truth. One of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy 3:16. I think my favorite, they're both 3:16s here. My favorite is John 3:16. God so loved the world. But this is pretty close to that. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God breathed. I won't tell you what the Greek word is, but I do know that it's one word, and it literally means God breathed. And the other translations say all scripture is inspired by God. So whether your Bible's on your phone, I don't care what translation it is inspired by God. The original language it was written in was inspired by God. That meant that the Holy Spirit breathed into it. How did that happen? 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, yes, men wrote it, prophets, priests, kings, shepherds, all sorts of people wrote it, but these were men moved by the Holy Spirit. Who wrote the Bible really? The Holy Spirit. So why could you think of anyone better to interpret it than the Holy Spirit himself? So we pray when we read the Bible, Holy Spirit, please reveal your word to speak something from this word to me today that will build me up, that will make sense to me, that will bring me light. And then the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Anybody here find prayer easy? I didn't think we'd get many takers for that. I saw one hand just move, and then I think they must have thought, oh yeah, yeah, maybe not. But we pray, don't we? And God helps us to pray. Nobody said that it would be easy to pray, but it's a lot easier with the Holy Spirit's help. So Romans 8:26, and I think we have probably mentioned this in the prayer meeting hundreds of times over the years as we've prayed. The Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And then there's this interesting thing, but the Spirit himself intercedes with groanings. Too deep for words. There are some Christian sects, I think, who are really into the groaning thing. And so in the prayer meeting, there's a lot of groaning going on. But it doesn't actually say that because it says it's groaning too deep for words. But it's like that thing inside, there's a kind of longing, there's a burden. And God teaches us by the desires that he puts in our hearts. And that's the Holy Spirit. He gives us words. He gives us things to think about. He gives us motivation. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then we're going to skip an overhead here to the next thing. The Holy Spirit brings love and unity in the church. This is unbelievably important. It was lovely to hear Comfort thanking God for the unity. And it's actually a bit amazing, really, that the three churches or bits of churches have come together in this last year. And there's been a surprising unity. That's why I think it's a God thing. You know, there are so many like nuances of doctrine and things we could do. And, oh, I wish they didn't do it this way. And if they were more spiritual, they'd do it that way. You know, we could think that way, couldn't we? But the unity is so precious. And so it says in Ephesians 4:3, do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives. You see, we're not trying to cobble together some kind of unity as you might do in like a corporate meeting or in an organization. This unity belongs to the Holy Spirit. This unity that we are enjoying, we are tapping into something that is in God. And as long as we walk with him and we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, then we will maintain that unity. But we have to put in a bit of effort, don't we? It says, do your best to preserve the Holy Spirit's unity, which he gives by means of the peace that binds you together. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that binds us together. And then when we find it a little bit difficult, anybody find love a little bit difficult? People in the church get on your nerves. I'm sure I get on people's nerves from time to time. Or the person like, you know, you come in and you think that person, I think I might just sit the other side of church today. You know, it's real, isn't it? We all do it because we are growing in love. But let's not give up. Romans 5 says, our hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us as a gift. How lovely. In the Alpha Course, do you remember the story of Corrie ten Boom, who met the person who had become a Christian, that had been responsible for the death of her father in the concentration camp? And as he came to her, and he said, you know, could we have fellowship? And she's thinking, I know I should say yes, but nothing in her wanted to greet him. And she just said, God, I can't love this man. I can't love this man. And the Holy Spirit, and she prayed, and she felt incredible love come into her heart. I remember a relative of mine that was in a very poor state, and he rang me. It was when I was in my 20s. He rang me up, and he was somewhere in London. He got himself into a bad situation, and I said, "That's okay. I'll meet you in X, wherever it was." And as I drove down to that place, I remember thinking, there's no love in my heart. I don't really want to do this. And I don't feel any love for him. And I was just honest with God. And I said, God, please, please put some love in my heart. And when I met him, great love filled my heart. So we have to act sometimes when we don't feel it, but the Holy Spirit is there, ready to pour in. And then the spiritual gifts. And so tonight, as we come together and as we worship, we have an opportunity of 1 Corinthians 12:7. But there's some things in here that we don't often notice. I'm not going to go through this in any detail, really. But it says in verse 7, to each. Is anybody here an each, do you think? Any eaches here? Yeah, to each. That means to everyone is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And this word manifestation, it means the expression of the Holy Spirit. So it's not like, you know, coming through in tongues or necessarily going on a gifts of the Spirit course. That these things can all be helpful, but actually it should be that these are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So we're here in church this morning, we're saying, Holy Spirit, how would you like to move through me? It would be great, wouldn't it, actually, when people are rushing to the front during the worship time and saying, I just feel God showed me this for the meeting, or after the meeting, as we pray in small groups, you're praying and you just feel there's something maybe, or God gives you a picture or a scripture for somebody, or maybe somebody here needs healing and you feel led to pray for them, and there's a gift of healing that the Holy Spirit gives. This is how church life should be, isn't it? To be truthful, it doesn't always happen in the big congregation. Often it can happen in those like small groups after the meeting. Sometimes it happens in home groups. Sometimes it happens when you're having a coffee with a friend. But the manifestation is there. The Holy Spirit wants to give more through us. Why? For the common good. Not for your glory, not so we can say we're a charismatic church, not so we can become famous through an incredible miracle that was done through us. It's for the common good, and it's the Holy Spirit. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. And then it goes through this chapter, through the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, by the Spirit. And there are things I've listed then, the word of wisdom, of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy. My daughter and my son-in-law and their family are going to Malta this year. And they're talking about Malta up in the kids group this Sunday. And still in Malta, there's St. Paul's Bay and a statue of Paul. And do you know, the whole of that island was converted when Paul went there through two miracles. The first, a snake bit his hand and he didn't get sick. And then the second one was that the governor of the island, I think either he was ill or his servant was ill, but whoever it was, the governor called for Paul and they prayed for him and the person was healed. And every person on that island was converted. So Malta became a Christian island completely and still has that heritage. There is power in the manifestations of the Spirit. It says that we should earnestly desire, pursue love, yet run after love, but still earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe God is growing us into that as a church, isn't he? And he's very gentle and kind and patient. But we're praying that we would be, there would be more of God's power, more of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just 1 Corinthians 12:7. Often we limit it to that. There are many other gifts. There's a little thing here which includes hospitality, leadership, discernment. If you can read sideways, if you got that one, Ed, there it is. Helps. That's an easy one, isn't it? Maybe not so easy. Maybe you don't want to do the helping. Service, giving, and then you've got prophecy, faith, tongues. So many, many things that we get, more than you could ever put on one overhead for sure. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the Holy Spirit runs the church. Somebody once said, you know, that the leaders of the church need to be in the prayer meeting. You know why? Because he is running the church. And we believe all the time that God is speaking to us as a group of people, as a church. And we need to hear what he's saying. And we've gone step by step as a church, by God's grace, just as he has led. And even we had an elders' prayer and praying day just last week. And we just felt at the end, we all felt like a restraint. There were lots of things that we could have planned and clever ideas, but we just felt that, again, God is just saying, step by step by step, let me lead you. But that's a corporate thing, isn't it? In the prayer meeting, very often it was, I think in the days of Hezekiah or Jehoshaphat, the Holy Spirit came on somebody in the congregation. The king got them all together, but the Spirit came on someone in the congregation. They had the word of the Lord. And then the king said, let's do what that person said. So it's a journey of the Spirit leading the church all together. The shepherds have to guard the flock. And we have to safeguard that we are moving in the right direction. Dig out the weeds, sometimes put up the walls and safeguard the work. But it's the Holy Spirit ultimately who is building the church. So it says all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one as he wills. Not as we will, not as we desire, as he wills. And then the last point, really, I'll say the last point, but it might be a longer point, just in case you get too relaxed or excited. It says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This word power means ability. We will receive ability, and that's whether that's for your job, whether it's for your service in the church. And it says, and you will be my witnesses, because actually this is the main thing that we are here for. How many people here find it easy to evangelize, to talk about Jesus to people at work? It's probably one or two of you that are being humble, actually, because there are some people that just want to talk about Jesus all the time. I'm not one of them. I love Jesus, and I pray for opportunities, and sometimes I have the opportunity, and it's always a pleasure to do that. And afterwards I say, thank you, God, because I know that's what I should be doing more. But the Holy Spirit will give us the power to do this, so it doesn't all rest on us. We know we should do this, but we can't. So he said, wait in the city until you are clothed with ability, with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses. I do love it, actually, that it says we are witnesses, not witnessing. And there's a difference, isn't there, that we are actually people who have seen something that we can tell people about. Just to finish then with Jesus. Good place to finish, isn't it? Luke 3:21-23. It says, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son. With you I'm well pleased. I do love this passage because there's Jesus being baptized, age 30. It was the year that the priests were allowed to become priests. And God decided that he would personally anoint him, the Father, with the Holy Spirit. And as he was praying, the Holy Spirit came down. And what did he do? He assured him of his sonship. And that, as we've seen, is the work of the Holy Spirit to assure us that we are children of God. And then there was a voice from heaven, you are my beloved son. But there was more, because a couple of I think it's in the next chapter, yes, Luke 4, 18 to 19, there is the Nazareth mandate, where Jesus declared, this is what I'm here for, this is what I'm going to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And this is what we are here for in Kentish Town, isn't it? Or wherever you live, or wherever God has called you to. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to, yes, proclaim good news. Who? To the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, peoples whose lives are bound by sin, by addictions, by all sorts of things. He wants people to recover their sight, blind people, people who are spiritually blind as well, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. When Mike Betts came here that day, he helpfully noted that maybe God would bring people here who were suffering mentally, with mental issues. And it's not surprising in our day and age, there seems to be a lot of mental illness. But Jesus is the answer, isn't he? It says here that for recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, whatever that kind of oppression it is, whether people are depressed, whether people are suicidal, whether they are hopeless, there's such a wide thing. One of the first things I did when I was given the privilege of being full-time was Bob sent me on a mind course. And it was so interesting that day, just seeing the whole breadth of mental illness and sitting there thinking, Jesus, you must be the answer for this. But it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as people come in with their burdens to hear, including us lot, as we come in, then we want those oppressions to start to just fall off. And it will be by the Holy Spirit. So let's just finish there, shall we? Sandra, do you want to just come and the musicians? You know, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. And one of the lovely ways that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit is just by enjoying Jesus, isn't it? It's fellowship with him that brings the Holy Spirit into our lives. It's one of the ways. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit as we minister to him and bless him. So let's stand, shall we? Do you remember that question there was at the beginning? What has the Holy Spirit done in my life? Can you think of a few things that you maybe hadn't thought of, that actually it was him bringing you to Jesus, convicting you of sin, assuring you that you are a child of God, pouring love into your heart, empowering you? What has the Holy Spirit done in my life? We can say, thank you, Lord. And think, what more? Is there any challenge in my talk this morning to you? What more would you like God to do? Come this evening expectant for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Not that we should take glory, but that we would be open to this one who wants to build the church. Did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, when me, Nick and Bob spent the day together, someone shared an image with us about what it's like to be under God's grace and what it means for the kind of, he was talking about a different set of things, but it was a beautiful image of this, that God pours out his grace on us like being under a waterfall. And actually, often as believers, we can come with like our Tupperware or like a container. We let the waterfall fill up. We let it fill up and then we go and put it to one side. But actually, this waterfall is still coming. This waterfall is still flowing. And actually, what the encouragement is to let this fill up and pour it out to be a blessing that God might go on filling. It's not like the tap gets turned off. Cool. You've had your fill. It's actually God is continually wanting us to be overflowing with his Spirit. And just as Nick was sharing, just felt really stirred by that image for us as a church. Actually, God, let us be overflowing with your Spirit. Let there be a blessing. Let this be spilling out. Let us be the only thing we want to talk about is Jesus. But that doesn't come through something of us drumming up in ourselves. But that comes by the Holy Spirit, us being ongoingly filled. So maybe as we're singing now, let's just kind of almost that image of being under a waterfall. God, would you fill me afresh? Go on filling. Let me be able to take my thing and pour it out so it might be a blessing. keep filling me. Maybe I'll pray and then we could sing.
Yeah.
Well, always sometimes helpful to, like a receiving, almost like you're holding out your Tupperware. Lord, I thank you that you have poured out your grace. You said that to go on being filled of your Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that in your word it says, as a father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does our Father in heaven pour out the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I pray for that we would be a church that goes on being filled. We would stand under this waterfall of your grace and your mercy and your Holy Spirit empowering us to be a people of you. I pray, Lord, let us constantly be pouring it out so we might be continually being filled. Let you do so much out of the overflow that you are doing in us, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us all afresh this morning. Where we might have had that container on one side, Lord, let us come and stand under the waterfall of your grace. Fill us, we pray. Fill us and go on filling us. Lord, we desire more of you. Lord, we are so satisfied, but continue to overflow us, Lord. Let us go to new levels of satisfaction in you, Lord. Contentment in you, power in you, ways that we can only explain because of you at work in our lives. Fill us afresh, we pray this morning, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Father, thank you. We're going to sing this song now, I Build My Life. And there's a verse in here which is, it says, fill me. Fill me. That's, if you want to, keep your hands up. It's very special. Yesterday, at the end of Nicky Gumbel's talk, he talks about this ancient prayer, come Holy Spirit. And we just held up our hands like, and just say, God, we're open and we're thirsty. Come Holy Spirit in a fresh way. The guy pointed out that in the catacombs, the ancient pictures of the early church, often they had pictures, they were holding up their hands. It's in worship, it's in receiving as we sing this.